Stephanie, you've had some interesting cases, I'm sure, over your career in funeral service, and now you're bouncing around and some fun things in the line of work. Reminisce for me for a minute. Give me an interesting story from your days of being a day-to-day mortician.
Yeah, absolutely. We ran a facility in California that did not offer embalming. I know that's sort of unusual. It's unique. And really? I managed it. Yeah. We were sort of a strictly green facility, which again, not something that's super popular or out there right now, but
right. It
led to And it led to a lot of really interesting problem solving situations. Especially if somebody wanted to.
Let's get into it. Give me.
Yeah.
I'd love to know about the funeral home, but start me off with one of those stories. Like if a family wanted to have that viewing, and obviously you're not going to have embalming, what are some of the things that you were doing, or did you have any interesting cases that were difficult for you in any way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We had a gunshot victim, right? And her.
Oh, shoot.
Mother had been living in Mexico and hadn't seen her in like 15 years. And so would not take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. Needed to come see her daughter. We offered that we could transfer her to another facility to do some reconstruction because it was a head wound.
Oh, no.
And the family said no. And the mother was still very intent on wanting to do this. And I'm not going to say no to a family. I'm going to give the details. But I'll not say no. So we cleaned her up the best we could, dressed her nicely. We put really beautiful velvet drapes on her, and we covered the wound the best that we could in a nice way, not just with gauze or something, right? And we made it happen. And the family was pleased with what, you know, the outcome. I wouldn't say happy. I don't think anyone's ever happy, but they got what they were looking for in that moment.
Especially in a challenging loss like that, where it's sudden and it's tragic, you have to empathize with them and say, of course you're going to want to see them. But if you're choosing like a firm like you were at that isn't doing embalming, you have to try different things to accommodate in some way. What specifically did you do? So did you clean the wound and then, like you said, use some velvet sheets or something to try? And obviously, I'd imagine that you spoke with them before and said, hey, here's the situation. Is that what you were doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's good to describe as honestly as possible and directly as possible to the family what to expect.
Yes.
So I did. I made sure they were aware of the situation. And we cleaned her wound as good as we could, made sure that there was nothing coming out of it, and then found some nice fabric to wrap her head in, as well as because she had also been autopsied. So it was a very, there wasn't much we could show to the family that they would be okay with, right? So we really ended up
It.
So it was sort of right here, and that was it. But
a little window.
It looked okay right there.
Yeah. That's great. You should have just taken an old tissue box and cut it out and like, here's your little viewing hole. Honestly, like that's borderline what you probably did.
Kind of. Yeah. You know, I'll do whatever needs to be done to make the family happy. We had a green burial situation, a natural burial that the decedent had not been found for a couple of weeks. So you can imagine the state of the body. And it's
especially in California. Yeah. Yeah.
And summer.
Ooh, bad combo. Yep,
great. So the family was intent on doing a graveside natural burial. And unfortunately, the odor was very strong. And I had luckily actually just taken a course. Do you know Monica Torres? She does embalming. So I had just taken
Monica well, yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
Nice. She's the best. Yeah, she's such
to hang out. Yeah, she's wonderful.
She has some great tips and some good insight into difficult cases like you're dealing with, especially.
Yeah, she has one course specifically on treating unembalmed remains. And I had just taken that.
Okay.
So it was very good timing to know what products I could use on the body that would clean it up a little bit, stop the decomp as much as possible. Hope, you know, with the odor was the tricky part though. So we did what we could. And then we,
well, what were some of the things that you did do?
Well, we used a natural, it's not soap. What am I thinking? The
deodorizer?
No, you know, it kills, like, antibacterial sort of. We used a natural antibacterial. And then we put baby powder actually on top of the skin to try to stop some of it, absorb some of the odors. And then we wrapped her in a shroud. And then we placed her inside the casket because they had purchased a casket, you know, a wicker one. But we said, well, we need a little bit more buffer. So we put her in a shroud, and then we actually rubbed dryer sheets on the shroud as well.
Okay.
To help.
Yeah. Come on.
We did everything we could. We put cedar blocks in the casket because that can help.
Wow.
Anything we could think of, we did. And it was really windy. This Joshua Tree, I don't know if you've been there, but it's a windy desert location.
Okay.
But it worked. Whatever we did worked, and the family had no complaints. There was no odor that we could disseminate near the casket. So it actually worked out really
amazing.
Well. Yeah. But
wow, that's creative. Yeah, that's tough. Have you ever been like to an Airbnb or you rented a house or something, especially like back in the day, if there was ever like a foul odor or like a must or like the smell of cigarettes, we would take dryer sheets and put them in the back of fans and just like let the air flow. That's what it reminds me of doing exactly that. I mean, it's very resourceful and that's a good way to do it. So as far as the shroud wrapping, did you try to make it airtight? Like, or did you ever consider like wrapping with a sheet too? Cause I know we've had situations where we've had some terrible decomp, and because it is a natural burial, I'm sure that you're not using plastic and things like that. So unfortunately you wouldn't be able to do some sort of plastic wrap to contain it. So you have to pull out all the other different steps that you could possibly think of. And it seems like you did just that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because you can't use, even the sheets have to be wool or cotton, something
biodegradable.
So it's a little tricky. But it's fun to figure out how to do it to make the family happy, to have that creative time to say, okay, we're going to figure this out. And then, you know, I called a lot of other funeral directors, embalmers. I was like, okay, these are my ideas. What are your thoughts? And we all figured it out together. It was like a little community of support. Yeah.
It's fun to get those juices flowing and use your deductive reasoning. I think funeral directors have to think on their toes all the time. And that's just an exact situation where you really had to get in there and say, oh, what else could I possibly do? And then you toss in cedar blocks. Like, who would have thought of that?
That was something from my childhood. I'm from the country, and we would put cedar blocks in closets and dressers to keep things. I don't remember. I don't know why we knew that, but cedar blocks were very popular when I was a kid to keep around the house. Yeah. So I went,
that's very interesting. So I'd love to know a little bit more about the funeral home in general. Then was it a strict, we're not going to use any chemicals or not any chemicals that are like, well, what were the specific, I guess, rules that you had at that funeral home, as far as no embalming and the procedures that you would go through? Because that obviously is something that you don't see every day. And it's probably one of the very few funeral homes in all the states. So what were those rules and stipulations that you went by?
It was really tricky. And that wasn't the plan at the beginning. Yeah. We were opening an alkaline hydrolysis funeral home. We knew we wanted to also offer natural burial, and we weren't really sure what else we wanted to do, but it wasn't supposed to be a green funeral home to start. And then as we got more involved, realizing what we were doing and the impact it would make on our local community and hopefully the industry as a whole, we decided to just go as far that direction as we could. Obviously, small at the funeral home, we only bought soaps and things that were biodegradable so that we didn't use any chemicals, even just for ourselves, but also what we for decedents to clean and that sort of thing, disinfectants, everything we tried to make sure was as green as possible. Even our refrigeration unit, we customized to try to make that as energy efficient as possible. We really kind of just tried to do it as good as we could. Our fully electric facility, so no fossil fuels used at our facility. So lots of things like that. We just tried to make it as green as possible. And then we got together with the Green Burial Council, got some advice from them, got certified by them as well. So we could put that, you know, on our website and things. And so at that point we said, okay, well now if we're going to start offering something like embalming, we would need to do eco embalming, which exists. There's a lot of green embalming methods out there. But that was something that was going to come later on. And we had a lot of other focuses to get running, like the alkaline hydrolysis. That was a whole nightmare to get up and running. So we had other things to focus on.
Imagine.
But
then how fitting that I wore green today.
It was perfect. And here I thought you were doing it for St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up, right? So
of course I am, because I do have those thick, deep rooted Irish blood in me. But no, it's more for you. It's for your green. That's amazing and very cool. And I'm sure was probably sought after by, you know, select people in California. I think that would seem like it would be a big hit, and people, I'm sure, resonated with that and flocked to it. How was like the business side of things doing your procedures in that way? Did you see an influx of people because of your passion and gift for doing all things in the way you did?
Yeah. Once a family knew we existed, absolutely. That was the struggle though, because we were new and we were doing something different. So it was difficult to even get on lists, right? The coroner was like, well, but you're not service. And so, you know, it was a lot of outreach and trying to get people to know what we did. But when families found out what we did, or hospices, they were really excited about what we did. We had families choose us specifically because they knew we were green. Even if they
wanted
to do the same type of service somewhere else, they ended up choosing us because we were so passionate about it. Even our temporary urns, we didn't use plastic temporary urns. We actually got biodegradable urns as well, so that no one had to leave with a plastic urn.
You did everything. You pulled out all the stops. That's incredible. And I think it's important for funeral homes to distinguish themselves in some way or the other, you know, whatever that calling is for you and your firm, to separate yourself from the competition. Because if you're doing the same exact thing as everyone else, you got to give people a reason to come in your door. So whether it's green, or whether you're doing amazing services or unique services, or offering something completely different, or whatever that might be, you got to do something to separate yourself, and then get out there in your community and push it out there and let people know, and the word will just spread naturally. And it seems like you did a lot of that there. That's great.
Yeah. And you know, with alkaline hydrolysis, that probably could have been enough because it was already so unique, but I have a really bad habit of over working and just thinking of more ideas, better ideas. And
you and me both.
So, you know, I just, okay, well, that's not enough. We got to do even more. We even had a gentleman who, he had told his daughter that he wanted alkaline hydrolysis, and that he wanted it to happen in California because he's from California and he didn't want to leave and be transported out of state. Nevada was the next closest place currently doing it when he died. So they ended up, his daughter knew someone at a local body donation program. So they actually put him, they froze him for like a year until a facility was open in California and can do it in state. Yeah. So that's how niche this can be.
People
want these options, right? They're willing to do something like that so they can have the option they want. And we did that case, and it was really interesting to see that decedent after. I had never seen that before, so it was interesting to me.
All right, come on. Tell us, what was it like? Come on.
He had him for a few days, and we never actually fully had him unfrozen I don't want to say defrosted. That sounds weird, you know.
I thought you were going to go the thaw route.
He never fully became unfrozen while we had him, which was really interesting. You know, his body was definitely sort of curled up. Definitely right, had some different colorations on the skin. He was pretty unrecognizable, I would say. When we tried to do the ID, we were a little like, well, you know. And the daughter actually at the last minute decided, you know, she asked, she said, oh, can I see him? And it was another one of these that I was like, well, no, that's a good idea. So what we ended up doing is one of his hands actually looked okay. So we covered him and then we just pulled out his one hand on top of the sheets, and the daughter went in and like held his hand before we started the cremation. So we figured something out, but that was interesting. That was probably a once in a lifetime seeing someone in that state.
That's amazing. I would think so. And just going that long unembalmed, I know in refrigeration, but did they do anything while he was in refrigeration? Like, did they double body bag him or something to try to, you know, contain whatever was going to happen in there, whether it was leakage or odors or things like that?
You know, I don't know. By the time he was transferred to us, there had been a change at the facility that he was being sheltered at. So I'm not even sure if anyone really knew. When we got him, there was only one bag, but I don't know if they had removed anything or, so I'm not sure. It would be really interesting to know what they did.
That's a dedication right there to what carrying out your loved one's wishes, which is a beautiful thing. I enjoy that a lot. That's great. Tell us about eco-embalming. How do you do it?
Yeah, so I'm not going to be the expert on it, but what I do know is that there are now quite a few companies who offer embalming fluids that are more green, right? So they have less of the harmful chemicals or chemicals that don't break down as easily, that sort of thing. And apparently they work just as well.
Yep.
So hopefully more embalmers will start using them. I know that there's at least four companies currently offering those. So people should start at the next convention, walk around, start asking these fluid companies and see if they have options, because most of them do now. And then it's something else.
Good to test out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's another offer that you can get out there, which is always good. And, you know, something that could be worth a shot. Like, you just don't know what the results are going to be. And I know making a change is hard in the prep room when you have your exact way of doing things and you could close your eyes and do it. But I always thought it was a good idea to mix it up, try new products. I was a big fan of that, especially when I was more in the prep room on a day-to-day basis of doing all that stuff. And like you said, it's just another offer you can have to your families, and you know, you're making your impact in whatever, in additional way for your families. And it's a cool idea, and it's a good thing, and it's probably good for your own health too, because you know, breathing that in every day is not necessarily the best thing. And I think we all know that, despite as much as we want to fight it, it's not. Yeah. Embalming over 1,000 bodies in my career, I can safely say my tolerance for chemical smells is higher than the average person. So you could take that for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, it just can't be good. I don't care how much protection there is. It can't be good, you know. And I'm not anti-embalming. I know there's a lot of green advocates out there who are, oh, embalming's bad. It's bad for all this stuff. I don't necessarily agree, but I do think that there's probably better ways to do things. And families want more choices. So, you know, we talk about it a lot in the green space, is the shades of green. You don't have to offer a full green facility like we were doing, right? You can just offer things like the more eco-friendly embalming, offer natural burial, offer wicker caskets instead of metal caskets, because even traditional families might want to choose that. And that's still a shade of green. It's still greener. Right. So why not?
You know? Right, right. Yeah, yeah. It is another offer that you can do. And I'm very myself pro embalming. I think it's a beautiful last gift that you can give to your family, to your friends. And it is for the people that are still around and preserving that memory. and getting to see them in their best light, because you need to go through that process to have the best experience. I don't care who says what, it makes a big, big difference. And I know, of course, you can see people without it. Like I don't live under a rock, but I do think that is the best possible way. But like you're saying, Stephanie, there are different options that you can go down and different routes and different levels. If that speaks to you, go that way. I'd be curious to ask you about, there are a lot of people that have issues with the strong chemicals going into our water system and things through embalming. I'd love to know your take on that. From the knowledge that I have and I've gathered, you know, it's an amount that is untraceable after it goes through filtration. But if you know something more that you can expand on, you know, I'm always down to learn and expand my own knowledge, if you will.
No, I mean, I think you're right. From what I've heard, it doesn't make much of an impact. That being said, making zero impact is probably better than not much. But there's just so much worse things causing more chemicals in the water than embalming. So I think it's unnecessary, but I do think that if a family wants it, absolutely they should have it. Whatever works for the family is what they should be offered and what they should get. I have no problem with it. I'm not pro it. I'm not anti it.
Well said. I like that. So you were discussing how at the funeral home that you were trying to and successfully did install an alkaline hydrolysis at the funeral home. From what I gather, it seems like a very difficult process, and I'm sure down the road it'll get easier and easier, but just probably like how cremation was, you know, back in the day, it was very challenging, and still to this day in some locations, like you can't have a crematory in certain zip codes and cities and things like that too. So I'd love to know about the process of going through all that, and how'd you come out on the other side still kicking?
I'll tell you, it almost broke me. It's not
almost gotcha.
It did. It was so much harder than we thought it would be. You think, oh, okay, well, it's legal in this state now, so how hard could it be? Well, it is. Every state they have their own regulations. So of course, first it starts with passing the law. And then you have to wait for the law to take effect. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in California, they didn't start changing the wording in the law until the day it was supposed to be legal to open a facility. So we couldn't even apply to open yet because they still hadn't changed any of the state laws. They all still said reduced by flame, right? So then we had to go through that whole thing and help create some of that verbiage and whatnot. And then we had to educate our own funeral bureau so that they could figure out how you could now apply, because they had to make an application and they had to figure out how to qualify you and that sort of thing.
The whole process.
So that took a long time. So at least those things are done now. So at least in California, that part's done. But now it comes down to your county and your city still having their own approvals that they have to go through. So the county had to decide how they wanted certain regulations to be, if they would even allow it in their county, especially when it came to the water system, which then became more of a local city or state issue. And do we want it to go down the drain? Do we want to tank it? Can we dump it somewhere? What's the plan now? And how will that be regulated? And so heard is that LA, Riverside, a couple other large counties have basically said, like, no, like, this is not going to happen, or at least not anytime in the next few years. Yeah. Too much for us to figure out. So there have been some people who have actually tried to open facilities in California, and they ended up having to cancel the order for the machine or move to a different state, or are still applying. We went through a lot of effort, but we are city and state and county all finally okayed it, gave us regulations. We did it all and opened the machine. And we had a big opening. A city mayor came, who I guess used to do removals. So he actually had some experience, which was
pretty. No kidding.
Yeah. Small world.
Wow.
He was pumped.
So I'm sure he was all about it.
Wow. He was so excited. He was so excited. We were doing this new thing. We were on the news. You know, it was really cool. But it's not for the faint-hearted. If you're going to open one of these, it's... And of course, you could do it in some states that I won't name that are just the Wild West of funeral service, much easier. A state like California,
sure,
heavily regulated, it's just so much harder.
Yeah, it sounds challenging to go through the whole process. And then it's a financial commitment too. And you're going out on a limb saying, you know, this is going to work financially for your firm. You would, the other side of it, you would have to think at this point, because there's not that many around, that any of the other local-ish funeral homes, I mean, people were going, you said, to Nevada from California for it previously. So you would think local funeral homes that want to offer it would team up with you and say, hey, can we, you know, bring our bodies over for any of our alkaline hydrolysis cases, which, you know, would be an extra asset for the funeral home too. It sounds like a nightmare, but I'm glad you were persistent and you're able to figure it out. Good for you. That's amazing.
Yeah, we were really proud of ourselves, as you can imagine. We were like, oh, no, we actually did it. Cool. But yeah.
Now what? How do we use this thing?
Please, by then I was an expert. I had done so many. I had actually gone out to Vegas, which is where the machine was in Nevada. And I had spent a lot of time there practicing and learning. So by the time we actually opened, I was ready.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's great. Tell us about what you have going now. I know you've stepped a little bit away from the day-to-day business of being a funeral director. Good for you. kidding to my funeral directors. I'm kidding. But I know that you're with helping out with Parting Stone and doing some other things on the side for yourself. What's going on now?
Yeah. So you're right. I got tired, which I think a lot of people do, you know, and I wasn't even in it as long as I think most people in this industry. So more power to all of you.
Yeah.
I really, what we do and what you continue to do is just, I didn't want to do it anymore full time. It was just too much.
It gets hard.
Yeah. It's emotionally draining. It's time consuming. It's all of the things. And
that's why we have to keep up admiring and supporting and building each other up, I think, is very important. So that way we can keep our field strong and beautiful and grow as well. So that way not as many people are dropping off after X amount of years. We want to increase that longevity of service, because the longer you're in funeral service, the better you become. It's just natural. It's about repetition. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to lose our veterans out there. So it's good to talk about it, to acknowledge it, and try to determine figure out some ways to counteract that.
It's hard, you know, and I'm still, I'm working on that, which is actually something. So I work now for Parting Stone. And one of the things I do for Parting Stone is really champion the funeral homes, funeral directors, arrangers as much as possible. That's a big part of my role with Parting Stone is like, how can we make their job better? How can we make their life better while also helping our company? But mostly it's like, how do we know that?
Yeah.
How do we get them the support they need and make it easier to work with us? And so we have a lot of things in the works that are, you know, we've sort of had little pieces come out here and there, but we have some big things that we're working on at Parting Stone to help with that and the whole industry as a whole.
Nice.
Which is really exciting, which is
That's wonderful.
One of the reasons I picked this company, honestly. They're very forward thinking, very caring, very understanding of the struggles that are happening in the funeral homes and, you know, focused on more just the service of solidification, right? But I also love that.
Yeah.
I believe in it. I love, you know, Parting Stone. I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't know what it is. If they're listening to this, you know what it is.
Tell us for those of us who don't know.
So Parting Stone is a service that takes the cremated remains after cremation and solidifies them into a collection of stones. So the goal is that the family can now choose between the typical cremated remains or solidified remains after cremation is done for which one they'd like to receive. And then the families that choose solidified remains theoretically are getting no cremated remains, so they don't have to deal with the mess or the nervousness that comes around it or what have you. Right? The stones are, you can hold them, you can scatter them, you can share them, you can do all these wonderful things. And I just think it's awesome.
You can skip them.
Try. They're not very flat, but we've heard a lot of people try to skip them on lakes and things. I'm like, okay, give it a whirl. Oh, but it's such a good company.
That's great.
It's really, they're trying to like really do good things, and I fully support that. So
yeah. That's beautiful. What are some of like the little things that you're already doing at Parting Stone that's helping out our funeral directors to make their lives a little bit easier? Because I think that's something that directly benefits us. And then if you can in turn help give your families another interesting, cool option for their loved ones' remains, the more power. So what are those things that you're helping us with? What can you do for me?
For one thing, we actually have a little VIP group, people that like Parting Stone that also are forward thinking, looking to help the industry, that sort of thing, new ideas. We have a little group, a little private group that anyone can join if they work with us. And we discuss things. We discuss death-related things, give them access to ideas or things that we see that are new and coming around. So for instance, I've posted out to the group a few times about scholarship opportunities to go to conventions or in the Catholic Church recently put out information about maybe being able to keep some of your loved one's remains after cremation, which is a huge thing. I made sure that those people knew this, and that this story had come out, and we listen to a lot of their feedback as well. We ask questions, and then we'll take that feedback and try to improve as a company the best we can to make it easier for them to order or to send us the remains. We send automatic updates about where the order is. I don't know why don't do this, but it was one of my least favorite things as a funeral director was that I would have to call and check on things. And
All the time. Constantly.
Yeah. So we got that feedback and we made it easier. And we said, okay, funeral directors, here's some automatic emails letting you know where this order is.
We need some automation in our industry. We're trying to do that too. And it's working out very nicely. It takes something off your plate. So I'm all for that.
Yep. And we're working on, we just launched a continuing education course. So that's really exciting. We are working on another one coming up so that people who actually train with us might be able to receive credit for it instead of just doing the training.
Oh, good.
So that would be a double, two stone sort of situation, which is good for a lot of
pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. we have a lot of talks that we like to do. So we try to be part of the community and do speaking engagements when we can. I created a tool that people can use that they can download that goes through what I think is a good order to do an arrangement session in and why. And then you can download it and actually circle things as you talk to the family. And I spoke about it at Selected Independence last year. And then we put it out recently in a newsletter so that anyone can use it. So we try to, those are some of the small things. I mean, some big things kind of in the works, but yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And you're being very considerate of what we do on a day-to-day basis and try to make it easier and then also develop on the inside out too, which is obviously immensely important. And thank you for doing all that. That's wonderful. My last question for you, where do you see yourself in your career in the line of funeral service in one way or the other? What would you like to do? What are your dreams?
That's a great question. I don't know if a lot of people have like a specific answer, but I did start working on things that I think the industry is missing. I'm trying to like fill some gaps personally outside of working with Parting Stone or at a funeral home or something like that. So I'm now offering services to families of guidance. It's a little different than what we would think of as a death doula. It would be more vocational based and helping them understand all of their choices, because most doulas aren't trained the same way funeral directors are trained. Don't really know that they have so many options. So my solve for this is that there's got to be an in-between. There's funeral directors who work at a funeral home and only have X options. So that's all they talk about. And then doulas who don't know necessarily what all the options are. So I, as an independent person, can come in and say, these are your options. These are the states where these options are available if you don't live in that state. And also we can create your advance directive. Also, I can tell you that you should probably go talk to a financial advisor, and you should probably, you know, hear your take, right? So that's what I'm working on, to create physical and digital ways to help families do that and offer advice and guidance and that sort of thing. So I'm hoping that I can do more of that, and that we can, other people can do more of that and fill some of those gaps a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's my big goal.
I love that. And you're very passionate about it. And it fits right in line with what you've done in your career, and just takes it up to a different level, especially helping other people to follow in your footsteps and do similar things, which is amazing. It's really cool. But thanks so much for joining us today. For those of you who aren't following her, get on her. You're the Green Director. Am I right? Is that right? Green Director?
Yep. The Green Director.
Got to follow her on social media for all her. Yes. Beautiful. Follow her on all her social medias for the good stuff. And she'll give you some more quality content, just like you've learned from her today. I know I learned a few things. So thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This was really fun.